Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Gonna be nice today. Well, actually warm. Today and tomorrow, 70s. Hello.
Hi.
Then it's gonna get cold again. But we'll take it while we can get it. I think I saw yesterday 73 tomorrow.
I like
that.
I
may go swimming.
I don't know if I'm gonna do that, but
well,
I like it.
Hot tub weather at least.
Yeah, well, you just had that.
I did.
I need it today.
I miss a hot tub.
I need it today. I told Elijah this. I walked in this morning. I don't know what I did. I don't know how I did it. But my neck is killing me. Like, I can barely move. And this was all – this is like an in-sleep injury. And just, like, I woke up this morning and
I was
like, ah, what did I do?
It's the worst, man.
Yeah.
Put some Croatian CBD on it.
Yeah, I need something. I need a massage is what I need.
Yeah.
That would help.
But get somebody to rub it out.
That'll help. It will. That may be what I need.
It's a cure all.
Yep. Thank you.
Let's give away.
Let's do something else.
For the love of God.
Let's see who's listening.
We're about to find out.
Let's give away two
tickets. I hate you.
Three Dog Night at the Ryman Auditorium. That'll be Wednesday, November 24th. That is in 8 days. November 24th, Three Dog Night at the Ryman Auditorium. Caller 5-615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's find out who's listening right now. Be caller 5, and you'll go see that show at the Ryman in 8 days. Okay, last night, Manning cast. Rams, 49ers. Rams got spanked again.
Yeah.
I mean, the 49ers took it to them. And it's going to be interesting when we do our top 10. Let's see. I had the Rams 5. You had the Rams 7. Willie had the Rams 4. So, obviously, they're going to take a tumble because that was before the Titans game. And so they're going to move down everybody's list. The question is, what's going on with them? Obviously, we know the news coming out Friday. Robert Woods done for the season. I think that's going to be a huge blow.
Yeah. Well, because Beckham is not going to replace that. So.
No. Not Robert Woods. No.
No. No. I think that is more of a significant loss than people might give it credit for.
Unless you believe all the people out there that think he's still an elite number one receiver. I do not.
No, I don't. I don't know why they did it. I think that's a dangerous move for that locker room.
It is interesting, but I will say this. The Rams are not afraid to bring on names, are they?
Mm-mm.
Not afraid at all.
Von Miller, I like that move. But Odell, not so much.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. Did I see this? I didn't look at the schedule, but I think they said it last night. Is the Rams' next game Green Bay?
I believe that is
correct. Is that right? Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have the bye, and then they have –
oh, so they have a bye.
They're on the bye, and then they have Packers at Lambeau.
Ooh, wow.
Then the Jags. Then they have the Cardinals, Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens.
49ers again. Yeah, their schedule. They got one bunny in there. The Jags.
Yep.
And who knows? The Jags keep getting better, but they're still a bunny.
And who knows what the Seahawks are at this point. But, I mean, it's a division game, so I'm not going to call that a bunny.
No, right.
The 49ers, is last night just it was a good night? Or are they getting stuff figured out? Because –
well, they got a lot of important bodies out.
Yeah.
Maybe,
Well, the fact that Kittle's back is huge.
And I was going to say, getting some of them back helped, but man. Well, so what did you think? You had some thoughts on the Manning cast. What did you think?
I liked it. Phil Mickelson was my favorite part because
I
loved that Phil was asking them questions. Like, why, you know, why do you use this terminology? Or, like, what does this mean? You know, Peyton telling the story of having I guess for changing something that he had Tiger and he had Phil and stuff like that. But I just thought that was fascinating. And then when he called Eli's swing cute, like, I lost it. That was hilarious. Like, it's cute.
I thought Phil was definitely their best guest. I thought Draymond Green was, I don't know.
He was okay.
It was okay.
But he was Draymond. So, yeah. He was okay. Rivers was about what – I didn't think Rivers was bad, but he was about what I thought he would be.
Yeah.
Al was – the thing with Al, I loved
I
Al.
I thought it was kind of a little – I don't know. Out of sorts, too, a little bit.
Well, they got kind of screwed up because there wasn't a stoppage, and so the first quarter flew by.
It wasn't. Peyton was like, fastest first quarter in Monday Night Football history.
Yeah, so
it was like 7:22. I think that's right. I think when I looked at the clock, no, that can't be right because they kicked off at 7:15.
Yeah, I mean,
it flew by. Oh, maybe it was 7:32 or something, and it was – 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was a very long first possession, but I thought Al was, you know, it was kind of, he was trying to be Cosell, which was kind of funny. And but you know, I mean, they did acknowledge and make a big deal that, you know, this was the first time in 16 years that Al Michaels had been on Monday Night Football. So
yeah,
but you know, I thought he was okay. He was fine. You know, there was a little bit of which I kind of think is neat when you get somebody like Peyton Manning to be a little starstruck. But it's like, you know, I loved it when you called my games and just the respect there. So, you know, I think that's kind of fun. But Phil was definitely my favorite one. He was definitely the best guest.
I would agree. Even I thought the Rivers was a little – Rivers tried to, you know, interact. I think it's interesting because you can tell Peyton – wants to try to stay with the game too, right? He doesn't want to get into long conversations and ignore the game. So he tries to, you know, something good is said, but then he will, you know, go to the game. So it becomes a little choppy at times because there's no flow. They have to keep bouncing from conversation to the game.
Yeah. That's where. So in the last night was a prime example of kind of what I've thought about this. I think they have too many guests. I don't think they need one per quarter. I think if you had two per the whole game,
one per half,
that's fine because of what you just said. Because Peyton's trying to – because that's what I'm watching. Like, I want to hear Peyton and Eli break down the game.
Yeah.
And why why they're doing a certain thing.
I love them questioning things.
Oh, I love it too. And I love how Peyton gets mad. Like, when they do something that he doesn't agree with, like, he legit gets he gets kind of ticked off.
When, like, receivers drop the ball.
Oh, yeah. And kickers. I mean, you can tell he gets mad at kickers. But he, like, he questioned a couple of throws that Stafford made. Like, why is he doing that? Like, why is he making that throw? Or why didn't he check down here or change it? Mm-hmm. You know, but that's why I want to watch. I think the guests are cool, especially if you have somebody like a Phil Mickelson or Tom Brady or – you know, Drew Brees, what have you.
It's pretty funny them showing the record of the current players whenever they come on the next game.
Yeah, the curse.
The Manning cast curse.
Oh, yeah. And he brought that, like, Eli, I think, referenced that to Draymond. Like, well, hope you guys beat the Nets tomorrow so we can quit talking about this curse. But yeah, I mean, I still think it's awesome. Like, I watched it the whole game. Like, I don't watch the regular broadcast.
Yeah, me either.
So,
I do. I don't think you can. I know we've talked about this before. I just don't think you can really duplicate something like that because Peyton and Eli are so unique. I mean, just you don't have a bunch of Peyton Mannings and Eli Mannings growing on trees out there that can keep everybody that interested. Because, like I said, they've done this before. I mean, this is not some new concept, but those people don't grab your attention like Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. They just don't.
Right.
I think they're brilliant at this. Peyton takes over, really good.
Too.
He does.
But you know, you expect that.
But Eli plays off of that, which makes it funny.
Yeah. Eli's
got subtle jabs all the time.
His one-liners are fantastic. Like, he's secretly funny. Like, he does have a funny side.
Yep. Yep. No, I thought it was That was good. And they're going to get the Giants game. What was it? Bucks-Giants next Monday night, which is good. Bucks coming off two straight losses, lost to Washington. How about the finish of Washington? By the way, we'll have Tim Hasselbeck coming up at noon, so we'll get into all things NFL with him at noon. But how about the final drive of the game for the dagger when, you know, the Bucks had cut it to three and Washington went on a 10.5-minute drive?
Yep.
To basically finish off Tampa. How impressive was that? Tampa could not get off the field. They couldn't get the ball back to Tom Brady. It was unbelievable. That was a really impressive drive in the fourth quarter. So that'll be can the Bucs get things going? And then obviously to have the Giants. So I wonder who they'll have guest for that. That'll be interesting. I don't disagree with you. I think a guest, a half, would be good. But I also understand why. They were trying to protect them early on.
Yeah.
Maybe now that they, you know, because they don't know how this is going to go. But I think now that they've got their feet underneath them and they understand what they're doing and, you know, not that they didn't understand, but you know what I mean. Like, now they understand the flow and they're constantly tweaking. You know, these guys, especially Peyton, you know, he wants to be a perfectionist on everything. I doubt they're going to do that this year, but if they do decide to do this again next year, I could definitely see them being a little bit lighter.
They've supposedly signed a 3-year deal.
But I mean, I wonder if this is one going to be, have they said the terms, like games?
I think it's like 7 to 10 or something.
I wonder if it's going to be increased. But I do wonder if they will maybe look into that, maybe just doing one per half.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Jeff Francis. Jeff was listening. It pays to listen. He was also Lucky Caller 5. Go enjoy that show in 8 days at the Ryman Auditorium. We'll come back. David Poyle will be calling us from Toronto. We'll talk to the GM next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators in Toronto tonight to take on the Leafs. 6 o'clock puck drop. Pre-game for you at 5. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside here on this Tuesday. Let's head up to Toronto where the Predators general manager David Poyle is standing by. The Preds are 8-1-1 in their last 10. This has been quite the success here, just 15 games in the season after a 1-4 start. David, what do you like about what you've seen in the last 10 games?
Darren, a lot of things I like, right now, our team is scratching and clawing and getting the victories. I mean, every game seems to be pretty close. A lot of one goal games. We've already had 4 games in overtime. We've won 3 of those 4. So, timely goals, killing off some big penalties like we did the other night against Arizona on a 5-on-3 for a full 2 minutes. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about the power play this year, and our power play, I think, is 5th ranked in the league, and it's, you know, getting, again, these timely goals, and we have a lot of individuals that we've talked about many times in the past that are certainly having much better years this year than last year, and are, I guess, in a capsule here, I think our best players are our best players this year, and they're kind of leading the way. Our 3 leading scorers are Josi, Duchesne, and Granlund, and our 3 leading goal scorers are those guys, including Ryan Johansson. So, a lot of things are good right now, but, we live and die every game. We're also playing the Leafs tonight, who got off to a slow start, and they've won 8 of their last 9, so this should be a good game tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You brought up the captain, Roman Josi. You've watched him his entire career, as have we, and you drafted him, so you're very familiar with what he brings to the table night in and night out. Is it possible that he's actually getting better? I don't even know. That seems crazy to say, but I feel like he's even taken his elite game to maybe even another level, if that's possible. What are you seeing right now out of Roman?
Yeah, I think he's playing as good as he's ever played, and he's, one of the areas, again, we've talked about a lot is that a little bit worried about our offense, and he's creating lots of offense for us. He's rushing the puck. He's that fourth man up in the rush that gets those odd man rushes in our favor, and he's doing some great things, both 5-on-5 and on the power play. His shot has been great. I believe he's leading all defensemen in the league in scoring. So that should tell you that he is back on track, if you will, for being one of the best defensemen in the league. And, you know, certainly right now, I would say he, if you're voting for the Norris Trophy after this many games, I'd say Roman Josi has been the best defenseman in the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, you've talked about this with us, how you guys sit down with every player at the, after every season and just talk about, you know, moving forward and things to work on and what you liked, what you didn't like. Matt Duchene, obviously it didn't go the way he wanted it to go last year. It has really since he's been here, but this year, obviously, totally different. This is the guy that you signed and brought here. What's working? Why? Or I guess, why is it working so well for Matt Duchene 15 games in?
Well, you're right in terms of, you know, reviewing things from an individual perspective. You know, we do that. I do that at the end of the year. There's conversations with the coach and the coaches. There's conversations over the summer. I think training camp is a important time in terms of, you know, setting up expectations, goals, you know, specific things that you're looking for from individual players. And I think that Matt is checking all the boxes for management and for coaches, and he's becoming a very, very valuable player for our team, and obviously playing as well as he's ever played. And, you know, that game was always there. Just for whatever reason, you know, last couple of years have not been as productive for Matt, but he's doing a lot of really good things for us right now. And just like talking about Josi, the guy that's creating the most offense for us is Matt Duchene. He's getting chances every game. He's making plays, and it's really exciting to watch him play like this. And it's certainly one of the reasons why we've played really well in the last couple of weeks, with our current record being 8-1-1 in the last 10 games.
We're speaking with Predators General Manager David Poile, who's up in Toronto with the team, Predators and Leafs, tonight. Last week you had to make a tough decision, and Rocco Grimaldi putting him on waivers. He passed through. He's been sent down to Milwaukee. Those decisions are never easy, so why did it come to that point last week where you guys decided to do what you did?
Not easy. You're correct. It's never good for players. I mean, we have to have extra players, so players have to sit out. Certain players have to sit out every game, but we certainly don't want it to be going for a long period of time. Rocco's in his last year of his contract. I talked to his agent many, many times about the situation. You know, obviously there was a disagreement as to whether he should play or not be playing, you know, which I understand and I respect. And I think we, not mutually, but I think we sort of got to the point where we needed to find out whether Rocco would be taken. So we took a chance and put him on waivers. And unfortunately for Rocco and maybe for us somewhere down the line, he didn't get taken. And now he's in Milwaukee, where he's got to get down there and, you know, help them win, because they're struggling a little bit, because we've got a lot of their players up here. He's got to be productive to show people that he can do that, to give him a chance for us to bring him back up here, or for another team to be interested in him. So it's not a perfect situation at all, but I just hope that Rocco can, you know, do some really good things down there, so give us a chance and a reason to call him back.
You getting some good news today? I noticed some players who've been out of the lineup, maybe out on the ice for morning skate, and Cousins and Carey, maybe getting some bodies, or at least close to getting some bodies back in the lineup, David?
I think so. As you know, we have had our game canceled in Ottawa on Thursday, which is really unfortunate for this road trip. But what it does do is it gives us a couple more practice days, specifically for players like Cousins and Carey. And I would think, based on watching them this morning and having a discussion with Kevin Morley, our athletic trainer, that I think there's a decent chance that they might be ready to play in Montreal on Saturday. And if that's the case, then we've got a couple of decisions to make roster-wise again.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. And David, I had the opportunity in second intermission the other night to talk to Ellie Tolvanen, and he had two assists. He had a really good scoring chance. Those obviously have to be confidence builders for him, but, you know, I know that you all would like to see him score more, and that's what he does. He is a goal scorer and only has one on the season, and it came in the team's first game. So what have you seen out of Tolvanen through the first 15 or so And more importantly, what have you seen maybe the last couple that show you that he's close?
Last couple of games have been good. He's gotten put on the power play in a good position. Again, where he scored all of his goals in the power play last year, I think the team and our patterns are trying to set him up, but it's being covered more. So I guess in one way, you'd have to say it's a lot of respect for Tolby because he's not being given the opportunity to get his shot off as much. So we got to come up with, and he has to come up with some other ways to be effective, whether it be on the power play or 5-on-5. Because as you said, at the end of the day, I think he's making progress, yes, but at the end of the day, we need him to produce, and we need the secondary scoring. We're getting the scoring from Granlund, Johansson, and Duchesne, as we've talked about. But we need some secondary scoring, and Tolby's got to chip in there. So it's progress, but I sort of get that feeling if he can get one, he can get a bunch, and he just has to kind of break through. Hopefully, that'll happen soon for him and for us.
Well, and what is the balance of, especially with a young player like Tolvanen, and you put Tomasino, any of your young guys in this category of you want to build their confidence, you want them to have that, have that available to them, but you also are trying to win and need production. So, what is kind of the balance of giving them enough time to develop that confidence and hope that the goals are going to come, but also know that they got to be productive?
Well, that is the million-dollar question in terms of how you handle that. For example, you've got Tomasino that's been playing, I would mostly say, on the fourth line and getting limited minutes. Now he's been bumped up with Joey and Tanner Jeannot, arguably one of our top two lines. But in the third periods of the last couple of games, he's been on that line. He's been actually bumped down, and Tolvanen has been bumped up to that position. Probably more of a defensive move by our coaching staff, that Tolvins has a little bit more experience and a little bit more responsible. So, what you're thinking is exactly right, is that with these young players, and Tomasino was our youngest player, there's some good moments during the game, and there's some other moments that there might be some little bit of lack of detail or just missing an assignment or things like that he's kind of learning on the fly. So it is a balance, and you just never know. I mean, hopefully he continues to play well and can contribute and produce, and the option is always there to send him down to Milwaukee if the pace gets too much, or we think he would benefit by playing more minutes in a different situation down there. But he's a good kid. He seems to be very coachable, works hard in practice every day, and right now we're sticking with him.
UC Saros has obviously been tremendous for you, but first time to be able to ask you, now that you've seen David Rettich, your backup that you signed this summer, be able to play a game. What'd you think of his performance? It was a gritty one, but comes away with the win.
Yeah, it was a tough game on a back-to-back against a top team, St. Louis, and we did get the win. I thought overall he played really, really well under all the circumstances, and what I mean by that is that he hasn't played since training camp, and then he's had COVID, so he's missed almost two weeks. It's pretty good situation, pretty tough situation for him to go in there. So Juice has got the net again tonight, but hopefully with the schedule picks up here that Rittich will get more opportunities. But all in all, I thought it was a good start for him, and he battled really hard against the top St. Louis team, and again the win is the most important thing, so we're happy with that.
Obviously, all games are important when it comes to points, like you just said, getting the win. But I think you'd agree, there's a difference in Arizona and Toronto and how those teams are constructed. So do you view games like tonight, when you're going up against one of the top teams in the East, one of the top teams in the league, is kind of a measuring stick game to see where you are at this point in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a big market, a big hockey city. One of the original six franchises. There's always a lot of friends, family here, the players that we have from Ontario. There's a lot of media coverage of our team, so it's a different challenge. It's a different pressure, if you will, playing here and playing in Montreal. So, I refer to this a lot, is that you got to earn your stripes every day, kind of like the Army. So this is another test tonight for the Preds. Like I said, we're really happy with how things have gone recently, but it's hard every night, and the guys have been playing right to the last whistle to get these victories, and oftentimes it goes beyond that. It goes into overtime. So I'm always, it's still early in the season. I'm very curious to see how we match up against Toronto, because I do believe they, on paper, they certainly have one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, and they got some dynamite offense that we're going to have to control tonight.
No doubt about it. Should be a fun one. Enjoy the game. Thanks for the visit as always, David. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Have a good day. Thank you.
You do the same. David. That is Predators General Manager David Poile. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. Good stuff from him, as always. We'll come back on the other side. I've got some odds for you on the next Virginia Tech football coach. And something else I want to run by you that I saw that happened over the weekend that I'm just telling you, I'm going to go on and give out a free pick for next year. You have to sit on this kind of a futures bet for next year that'll make you a lot of
money. You haven't given out a free pick in a while, so this is good. The people want this.
Oh, this is a free bet that's going to work, and it's a futures bet, but you're going to have to wait a bit. But when it happens, whoo, man, that's a lot of free money, depending on how frisky you get. I'm going to get really frisky next year. I'll tell you what I'm talking about on the other side as you listen to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you would like to win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena, but some of you just perked up. What? That's Friday, February 25th. Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game's YouTube page, and you'll be entered for a chance to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena. Friday, February 25th. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle, and you'll be automatically entered. There'll be a winner chosen on Monday. That's Monday, November 22nd. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. Good conversation there with David Poile. We'll have Tim Hasselbeck coming up here at high noon. We've got the odds. Our buddy Alan Bell tweeting out from Sportsline. The odds on Virginia Tech's next football coach. The favorite is?
And I have not looked at these at all. Jamie Chadwell.
Jamie Chadwell is indeed the favorite at plus 400.
Okay.
Number two?
Billy Napier.
Billy Napier, plus 500.
I just feel like that those two,
that's we already talked where they're going to be. So, yeah. But it's going to be interesting when we get up and down this list.
Well, and it's also the domino effect of, if Franklin leaves for USC, Penn State's now open. So, what does that mean? Where does Virginia Tech fall in the pecking order once the dominoes start falling?
I've got a list of 11.
Is Florida going to be open?
I'll tell you what. I could not believe what I was watching. The fighting Courtland Finnegans on Saturday. I mean, holy crap. Samford?
They
led for a lot of the game.
Yeah. They put up, what was it, 52?
50-something points on Florida.
Yeah. If they had lost that game, he's
all bets are off.
He's fired as soon as he walks off the field.
If they lose in Gainesville to Samford, I don't think he makes it. I don't know what they would have done. It would have been bad. But I know they were trailing for a lot of that game. Samford. Not Stanford.
Samford.
Samford. The fighting Courtland Finnegans. A seventh-round pick by Floyd Reese and the Titans back in the day. So Jamie Chadwell is one. Billy Napier is two. Mike Elko is three, plus 600. He's the DC at A&M.
Yep, he's getting a lot of looks.
I think he was in the ACC, I believe, before A&M. He was at, I think, Wake Forest for several years as the DC. And then I think he spent a year at Notre Dame too. Isn't that who Clark Lee replaced?
Was Mike Elko? I think you're right.
I think that's who Clark Lee replaced, Mike Elko, when he was at. I think he was only at Notre Dame for a year, and then he went to Texas A&M.
Yeah, is Hugh on that list?
Hugh is on that list. He is ninth on that list at plus 1500.
Okay.
Keep guessing.
Billy O.
Is Seventh, plus 1,200.
Okay.
Bill O'Brien.
Elliott from Clemson.
Well, what's interesting is they have
Tony Elliott.
Both Venables and Elliott at plus 800. Together.
Mm, so they're tied.
Well, yeah, but they, yes, yes. Hmm. Which is interesting.
Okay. Well, I mean, honestly, that's probably, it's probably accurate that they have the same shot to get it. So I can go with that. All right, so how many more am I?
Well, let's see. Chadwell, Napier, Elko are the top three. Five and six were Venables and Elliott tied. So you need four. You need seven or six, however you want. I guess five.
Is Gary Patterson on that list?
Gary Patterson is not on that list.
Okay.
Interesting guess.
Yeah. I just wonder. I wonder if his name is going to pop up in any
Shane
of these.
Beamer is on there. You brought that name up earlier. He's 10th at plus 1,800.
Bill Clark.
Not on the list.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most you're not going to get that. I don't think you're going to.
I think I've hit all the
yeah
the major ones.
So you want to hear who's fourth? I think is very interesting.
Yes.
Dave Clawson.
Ooh.
They had a very nice win Saturday night against NC State.
That'd be a step up.
That's your ACC champ this year.
Yeah.
They're going to win the regular season.
Yeah.
That sealed it, that win over NC State. That's an interesting one. I'll tell you what, they can't stop anybody, but, man, are they fun to watch on offense.
The claw fence, man.
Man. I think
that's intriguing. That's an intriguing name.
Now, this one you would never guess. I would never guess. It's a name we both know very well. It's a name we've interviewed many times, but I didn't realize he was on radars right now. Joe Moorhead. Plus 1,000.
Wow. Where is he now?
I don't even know. I don't know. Where is Joe Moorhead?
Joe Moorhead is he's the offensive coordinator at Oregon.
I was getting ready to say, I think he's out in the Pac-12. He's the OC at Oregon? Okay. Yeah.
He's got a wicked beard, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Looks good like guy. Santa.
He's great.
We enjoyed our chats with him. I mean, obviously, Oregon's having a great year. So after Bill O'Brien is Sonny Dykes at plus 1,300.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
Not surprised there. Yeah, not surprised. Hugh Freeze, Shane Beamer, and then Marcus Freeman is 11th on the list, plus 2,000.
Hmm. Okay. So
if you were betting right now, is the next Virginia Tech coach that on that list, would you put your money yes, or you would go field?
No, I would say yes. I think the next coach is on that list. It's a broad list, but it's –
which, by the way, Bud was not on that list.
Yeah.
And you didn't even guess him.
Because, honestly, you're the first person to bring that up. Like, I haven't read that anywhere.
Well, I was just thinking out loud, like, when you hear the AD say that, it's like, okay, well, sounds like you're looking for a guy who understands Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
There's not too many – right? I mean, it's pretty easy to connect those dots. Guys that would understand Virginia Tech and what they're about, their culture, said their culture. So
I am curious to see how many legitimate looks Hugh Freeze gets this year. Has enough time passed, or is there still a stain on him that Power Five jobs are going to stay away? But I am very curious of that.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, let's just play the domino game. If Stoops leaves, does Kentucky look? You know, is to for him to come back to the SEC? Or are they like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Virginia Tech fits. TCU fits with him. I'm curious. I'm curious of just how real the interest is. And somebody like Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's just, you know, us saying, well, yeah, people should be interested in him. So, I don't know. But the more jobs open and the dominoes fall, it's going to be fun. Always is.
So, that's what I was going to bring up. Did you happen to see the end of Baylor and Oklahoma?
I did.
You saw the very end.
I mean, I saw the end of the game. Is there a specific – there were a lot of games on.
Well, if you saw the end of the game, if you watched it in its entirety at the end, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm not sure.
Are you talking about when they stormed the field?
Yeah. Then what? Then what happened?
And there was more time. They had to get everybody off because there was time
Then what
left.
Happened?
They kicked a field goal.
Dave Aranda called a timeout and kicked a field goal.
That's right. Okay. I wasn't sure where exactly you were going with that because I knew they had to clear everybody off.
Well, I mean, my initial reaction was, oh, my goodness. You talking about a set right there to do that? And, of course, both coaches addressed this, right? And he said that Dave Aranda said that, you know, he was doing it for, you know, tie-breaking purposes, you know. You know, more points. You got to stack it up for tie-breaking purposes for the Big 12. You know, come on.
That was his excuse, huh?
I didn't say it was an excuse. That was his story, and he's sticking to it. That, you know, he wanted to make sure that they, you know, they tacked on more points in case there was a tiebreaker in the Big 12 and point differential. Came into play that he wants to make sure that, you know, they've got the most points possible. And that helps their point differential.
There you go. By the way, his stock is rising.
Dave Aranda's?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done a nice job there.
Done a really nice job.
But, I mean, I just pulled an article up. Bruce Feldman, Dave Aranda has Baylor rolling, and he's a name to watch in the USC head coaching search. Obviously, he's linked to LSU because of his time there.
Lincoln Riley said, it became a safety issue. I know why Dave tried to kick the field goal, but there's a code of sportsmanship that I think you have to follow. I wouldn't have done it. Let me just tell you this. I'm going to go on and give everybody a free futures bet. I haven't looked at the 2022 schedule. We can do that if you like. I doubt they have the dates yet, right? I don't think that's out. I could be wrong. But next year it's going to be in Lincoln, too. When Oklahoma plays Baylor, gather up if you've got, you know, a safe in the house, if you've got money hidden in the house, in the attics, under mattresses, you dug some holes in the backyard and you have some money stashed there. Wherever you have secret stashes, go get it. Go collect it all and bet it all on Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because this is what I can guarantee you. Oklahoma will absolutely – if Lincoln Riley's there – now, keep this in mind. Lincoln Riley still has to be the coach, okay, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to go off to the NFL. I don't know what's going to happen.
No, his job's not going to be open. The job he wants isn't going to be open.
If Lincoln Riley's the coach next year at Oklahoma, when they host Baylor, I don't care what the line is, bet the Sooners and bet it heavy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a free tip from me, and that's free money from me to you.
Well, that's you don't know gift. If Aranda's going to be there either. You know, so that, but still.
You think he's going to bounce after a year?
Depends on what the job is. Now,
I
don't think
most guys don't bounce after a year with their head coaches.
But I mean, if he gets offered SC or LSU, which I think is a long shot. You take those jobs, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't say no to those.
Yeah, I guess I want to say I'm not sure if Aranda has to be, but yeah, I guess he's got to be. So if everything remains the same, I don't care what the line is. If it's 38.5, bet Oklahoma, okay? Because they will remember that, and Lincoln Riley will take it out on Baylor next year. They will pound them next year.
I don't think that's a stretch. There is not a date set, but they have Oklahoma's first three games are set with dates. And then they have, after that, they listed at Iowa and then Baylor. So I would say sometime in mid-October.
Probably around the – well, it's probably going to be – maybe somewhere around the same time.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe early – you know, maybe sometime in early November.
Yeah, in Norman. Like you said.
I said Lincoln.
You did. But that's okay. I knew what you meant.
That's too many Lincolns. In Norman. Yeah, in Norman. Yeah, okay, so we have to remember this because, you know, time will get away from us, but we cannot – lose out on free money.
No. Okay.
So we have to stay with this as a show. We have to stay dedicated. You, the listeners, have to stay dedicated. Let's keep monitoring. When that game comes out, when it's made available, you'll probably be able to bet it. I would say, in fact, this is what we should do. When it's probably in May or June, sometime in the summer months, that game will be up and available for you to bet.
Yeah.
That's when we hit it.
I'm down.
We don't wait till the season begins. We don't wait till, you know, the week of.
No.
In the
you
summer.
Jump on it.
The summer, we jump on that, and we jump on it hard, okay? Like somebody with your neck. Like somebody needs to jump on your neck and hit it hard, get you back in shape because you slept wrong.
I did.
And it seems like, you know, the listeners, the great listeners – somebody's even reached out and said they heard that you got neck issues and they would like to help. So I hope that happens.
Thank you. Me too.
You know,
because it does kind of hurt.
Well, I know. I've done that before many times. And it does. And by the way, it's never quick.
No. And I keep trying to stretch it out and that's just not helping.
No. You honestly are going to have to put some ice or a heating pad. Like, you're going to have to do some things to it to try to work it out. Because it's going to bother you.
Heating pad is definitely in my future.
Yeah. Because it's just not going to be fixed quick if you've really done a number on it.
Yeah.
But I was just curious if you had seen that because I was watching it and I was like, oh, my goodness. Did he just call a timeout? Oh, my goodness. He's sending the field goal unit out.
Yeah. I remember that now
because
that was right. There were a ton of games ending at the same time.
Yep.
That was Penn State, Michigan. I they clear everybody off the field so he can do that. And, hey.
I was like, okay, there you go.
That's kind of a double bird without doing it.
That is a done deal. That will be my biggest bet of the year next year is in the summer when that game is made available because Oklahoma will absolutely pound Baylor next year. They don't forget that stuff, man. They become elephants when the stuff like that happens.
Well, I get it.
I do too. I wouldn't
forget it either. It's kind of a respect thing.
Yep.
Especially at that level, you know.
And when you come out and say, really? Like the point differential, really? That field goal, does it really? By the way, Baylor's lost two games. So Oklahoma will have to lose again.
Yeah.
By the way, Steve Sarkisian, how's that working out?
Yeah, did you hear the awkward question he got asked about this guy basically just kissing up to him? And I guess it was a reporter, but he was basically talking about, you know, a few years ago, me and my friend, we had a problem and – you know, we had to solve the problem and find the right person to solve the problem. And, you know, I feel like you're that guy that can solve the problem here at Texas. You know, so kind of how do you view that? Like, it was a very weird, very, very odd, question to ask. And there wasn't really a question in it. But it was kind of an awkward exchange in the post-game press conference with him.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is I heard Robbie and Joe touch on it. I have not. I guess did somebody write about it on The Athletic?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to go check it out.
Keith has texted in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Can we please put a bow on the neck conversation?
Well, I want you to get to feeling better.
Thank you. And and Huffy says, thank you for the free money, Darren. I'm going to rub that bet out. Thank you, Huffy.
Okay, we'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck. Let's not go down that rabbit hole again.
Save us, Tim.
Or let's do, or not. Tim Hasselbeck to start the third hour of the show. We'll get into a lot of NFL stuff with him. The Rams have dropped two in a row, both on a national stage. It does not look good. Packers come back, shut out Seattle. NFC is crazy. Bucks lose to Washington. And I said it yesterday, the path in the AFC looks a whole lot easier than it does over on the other side. Well, we'll see if Tim agrees with that. We'll get into all kinds of good stuff with him next here on Darren Dunnick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.